NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right, welcome into the show. Welcome into the show. It's an exciting Saturday morning, Saturday early noon to some of you. Yeah, big time college football game. We got my man TJ Houshmandzadeh in the building. We got my man Stretch Armstrong, Plaxico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. We will be with you for the next couple hours. We got a lot to get to, guys. Shortly, we'll be finding out who James Jackson is. Well, on their head. That should be fun. Should be interesting. We got a lot coming up. We got some fight stuff coming on. We got our resident expert, Rhett Butler, coming on to talk about the Wilder-Fury fight and much more to come during the course of the show. So, but before we get going, obviously, you know, TJ, you always got to let people know why you feel so good, why you have so much energy, why you do your thing so much, being the driven man that you are.
And you know why?
Tell us why, man.
Because I defy aging with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels.
That's
boosts
right.
Boosts energy and helps you get lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off with promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive.
Don't let the age fool you.
Or
make sure you're
don't
driven
let them
man.
Hawkeyes beat you.
Oh, come on. Look here. Y'all sure are hoping for that, aren't you? You sure are hoping for that.
I'm excited.
Hey, I'm excited, too.
It's going to be a hell of a football game, man. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
sure.
I think they're going to throttle down. But one team that didn't have a heck of a game, well, I won't tell you. I'm going to let my man James Jackson tell you on this week's edition of I'm On Your Head.
It's
Move It Like This.
I'm On Your Head with James Jackson.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, James Jackson. Welcome back to I'm On Your Head, presented by the Up On Game Network and Fox Sports Radio. This is the segment where I catch a team slipping in the sports landscape, and I got to call them out, y'all. You know I can't let things slide around here. And before I get into this one, I got to provide a little bit of context, okay? Because, LeVar, you already know this, but Plex and TJ, I got to catch all up to speed a little bit here. I am a Buccaneers fan. And I don't want to hear anything about, you know, bandwagon or Tom Brady or anything, because I've been a Buccaneers fan pretty much my whole life. You can ask around about me. But I only say that because this next segment I'm about to do is going to bring me a lot of joy. I already love doing it. But when I get to do it to a division rival, man, it just makes it that much sweeter. So without further ado, New Orleans Saints, I'm on your head. I mean, they're finding out quickly that life without Drew, it's not a breeze. Okay, only 625 passing yards this season. That's good for second worst in the NFL. And that's as a team, right? And as a player individually, Jameis Winston only has 613 passing yards himself. To put that in perspective a little bit, there's only two quarterbacks who started the season week one who now have less than that. And that's Tyrod Taylor and Andy Dalton, who have since been injured and benched. So when Drew left, he must have taken everybody's socials too, because this offense is losing its identity, man. Alvin Kamara is really the only player who's off to like a decent start this season. He is top 10 in rushing, but only has those two TDs. So even AK don't got much in the chamber right now. And if all of this wasn't bad enough, blowing a 21-10 lead at home to the Giants, I mean, that's just shaky, baby. It's about to be bad news on Bourbon Street, y'all. Look, am I exaggerating? Maybe just a little bit. Like I said, they're a division rival. I get to have my fun with them. But this is a team that was very much supposed to still be relevant. And getting off to a 2-2 start in third year division isn't exactly the contenders that we thought we were going to see from the Saints, right? Right? So, New Orleans, if you thought I was going to let it slide, man, you're wrong. I'm on your head.
No. Well, New Orleans, it seems rightfully put. It seems well put. What's y'all's take on this? Is New Orleans in trouble, or can they climb out of this?
You know what's crazy? It's almost as if Sean Payton has fixed Jameis Winston, but fixing him has made him so He just seems to play nervous and scared of making a mistake. Mm. Like, Jameis Winston can throw the football. He's not throwing interceptions, but he's not throwing the ball down the field and creating big plays. It's almost as if Sean Payton has said, okay, we're going to play every game like we have a game manager at quarterback, and let's handcuff him, so to speak. I just don't understand when I watch the Saints, like, what's their objective? What are they trying to accomplish? Do they not feel confident? Well, it's obvious they don't feel confident in Jameis Winston just because of the game plan and the way they go out and play. They're going to have to let him loose. They don't let him loose. They're going to lose games because they're playing conservative. I would rather lose games and see if Jameis Winston can create the big play but also avoid the big turnover at the wrong time, because the way it's going, you're going to miss the playoffs anyway.
Mm.
I think, first off, man, the first thing we got to recognize is that Jameis Winston is following Drew Brees, who is arguably one of the best quarterbacks we have ever seen over the last 20 years. So it's not going to look like the Saints offense just for that, you know, alone. But outside of that, no Michael Thomas. He's out, so your offense takes a blow as far as being a passing team. And then on top of that, what's wrong? I can't figure out why they are not putting Alvin Kamara in those same situations that he's been in over the last 3 or 4 years. He's one of the most explosive, dynamic players in all of football. And all of a sudden, it's like this: Sean Payton and the Saints can't get him the football. He needs to touch the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times a game if the Saints want to really get back to being an explosive offense. And as far as Jameis is concerned, just like you said, TJ, man, he's just too inconsistent. I said after the first game, listen, let's not get too excited with the performance that he had the first game of the season, because he only threw the ball 18 times. When have you seen a ratio to touchdowns from a quarterback? You complete, what, 8 out of 18 passes, and 5 of those go for touchdowns? That does not happen week in and week out in this league. We know that. But for them offensively, no Teddy Ginn Jr., so you have no deep threat on the offense. So everybody's just ganging up on Alvin Kamara. But Sean Payton has to find a way to get this offense rolling. Jameis can't keep turning the ball over. He has to be more consistent. And if they – listen, 21-10 to the Giants, and you let them come back and beat you in New Orleans, that's not what you want down there on Bourbon Street, trust me.
You know, I just wonder if them getting displaced by the storm has had somewhat of an impact. Do we owe them a reprieve for having to deal with elements that other teams have not had to deal with? That was the first thing that jumped out at me. Second thing that jumped out at me is, if it is, in fact, Sean Payton fixing the situation with Jameis, and it isn't equating to him being as successful as he can possibly be as a player, I wonder if he sees it. And if he sees it, how is he going to address that quick enough so that you don't mess this season up? I mean, if you ask me, guys, when you're looking at what this New Orleans Saints team possesses potentially wise, they could be a Super Bowl contending team, but they could also go the opposite direction if Jameis is playing the way that you said it, TJ, with that apprehension, without that confidence, without just letting that ball go at times to be able to make those plays. I also subscribe to what you said too, Plex, is that, listen, I hope that Michael Thomas comes back. I hope he comes back healthy. I hope he comes back ready to play. I hope he comes back motivated to play. I think there's a lot of elements there. I think their defense got to do a little bit better. They could have supported them a little better. As you mentioned, they were able to give up a 11-point lead and give the Giants their first victory, which the Giants, by no stretch of the imagination, looks like a team that's ready to start winning. So for them to steal a game off of New Orleans the way that they did, I thought that was a major step back for New Orleans, and it made me start wondering, can Jameis Winston really, really lead this team? And if not, Is this an opportunity for Taysom Hill to once and for all finally give himself an opportunity to be the mainstay starter for this team? Yeah, we'll make sure we keep up with that one. But James, that was a good one. I like that I'm on your head segment. You can catch James and the rest of the crew at Straight Facts podcast. I think that it leads into the conversation, which we'll go into in the next segment of who in the NFC West is the team. Who is the team? Because I don't know that there's another team in the NFC as a whole that will be able to deal with Tampa Bay. So we got to believe that we're staring down the barrel of who's going to be that team out of the West, and just seemingly what just took place with the Rams and the Seahawks, and then what took place with the Rams and Arizona the week before would have this conversation be a good one. So you guys make sure you stay tuned in, because we're going to have a whole lot of conversation about that. We got a whole lot of other stuff coming up as well. Legendary moment will come up. We got up on game, down on game that we'll be featuring as well. But before we go to a break, you got to know, guys, I'm jumping in my ride. And if I'm jumping in my ride, it's because it's that time of the year. And what time of the year is that? Well, it's time you get off your couch, get into the stadium parking lot like I'm going to probably do today. It's football season. And that means tailgating is back this season. Do it right. Pack up your coolers, your grills, and your widescreen TV. Load them up in that Ram. That's right. It's a truck brand redefining what trucks can be. Ram leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored that high, Ram trucks have the rugged durability to haul what you need and luxurious interiors to make the drive to every away game a pleasure. Go behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. Learn more about Ram and what they have to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. You're listening to Up On Game. T.J. Hushmanzada, Plexico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. I hope you guys are enjoying all of the pregame programming, talking about all of the football that's taking place. Baseball has been amazing as well. We'll touch on that later on in the show. Also, yes, we do talk baseball and other sports. As I mentioned, we'll touch on boxing as well.
Man, it's a great time for sports, man. I love this time of the year.
Great time for sports. So it's Up On Game. This is Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
And former Penn State All-American LeVar Arrington, guys.
All right. Come on. Welcome back. Up On Game,
yeah,
with
West
Matt
Coast
TJ
Saturday.
And Plexico. Come on. Ain't this Bonnie and Clyde? Is this Bonnie and Clyde? That is West Coast. That is crazy West Coast. Man, I love me some West Coast beats and West Coast music. You know what I also like? I like to define my age. You know what I mean? TJ, can you please let these people know how you defy that age deal, man?
We defy aging with M-Drive. The supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit MDriveForMen.com for 20% off of promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Get MDrive.
How you feel about that, Plex? You feeling driven, brother?
Hey, I'm a very driven man.
I'm a very driven.
You know, it's
man.
Noon where Plex at. Plex and already had his M drive. He hit the gym. He ready to go, baby.
Man, you know, it's noon over here, baby. I don't know what's going on with my Michigan State Spartans right now, but we need to get it together. I mean, we're playing Rutgers today. We got to get it together. We got to tighten up.
Michigan State ain't playing this year, man. Y'all.
What you mean? Yeah, what you mean?
Y'all doing well.
Baby, 6-0.
Yeah, they right there. 11.
Y'all not playing like y'all serious.
Mm-hmm. But listen, like the last five games of the season, Michigan at home, Ohio State at home, and Penn State at home.
Jeez.
Y'all should be able to get at least two of those. If y'all for real, you can get two of those.
Hey, TJ, that Big Ten for real, man.
I'm not going to take it that far.
High school teams, you know what I mean? We actually play real football over here in the Big Ten, man.
I'm not going to take it that far.
But y'all found out from Purdue. So
it was the first game of the season, man. It was the first game of the season, man. We were a little off. Now, you know what it was about Oregon State, though, Plex? I'm keeping it 100. They had the wrong quarterback here. They put a quarterback that's mobile. They ain't lost since. They had the wrong quarterback here. They done benched a quarterback that started game one. They haven't lost since.
You're thanking the Big Ten for exposing the quarterback y'all had starting is what you're saying.
Yeah, one of the cellar dwellers in the Big Ten. It's sad, man.
You need to be coaching somebody. You need to be in the front office calling plays or doing something.
Hey,
something.
Hey, we've talked about this in our text. Let's just be honest. A lot of these dudes that's coaching, Scrubs. They'll say we hating. They awful.
Awful.
They awful, man. Oh, they're hating. These dudes are awful.
And they'll tell you that you don't know.
Right.
They'll have the nerve to tell you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. We just look like this. We just look like this. But we actually do know the game. The show ain't caught up on game for nothing.
You can't hit on the facts, man. You can't hit on the facts.
While we're on that.
These coaches are awful.
Let's talk about that. And we teased going into the break about Tampa Bay being in the driver's seat because of how well they're playing and, you know, ultimately how well they're being coached. We saw the Rams throttle down on Seattle, took the game and Russell Westbrook's finger all in one fair swoop. Who out of the West, man? And if it isn't just the West, who is a team? I mean, do we throw Green Bay in there as a team? But who out of the West and who in the NFC is going to be the challenger to Tampa Bay?
I mean, for me, I said it when the season started, and I'm a roll with them. It was the LA Rams.
Okay.
But right now, in control of the NFC West, I mean – The Cardinals are undefeated. They have a tough game tomorrow against the Niners. But Trey Lance's first start, they should be able to rattle the rookie with that defensive line and the way they're playing defensively. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go with the Rams, and it's defensively they're nowhere near what they were last year. Pretty much the same core guys. They can figure that out. New defensive coordinator and Raheem Morris. Offensively, they're much better. But it's really crazy that Stafford has been always a good deep ball thrower, and he's missing. He's just missing guys. He's leaving it short, and guys are making the play, but he's leaving potential touchdowns out there just because he's just not. He's not as accurate as he's normally been throwing a deep ball. It could be just new group of guys, new team, new system, whatever it may be. They've only lost one game, but my preseason pick was the LA Rams. And I'm a roll with it because it still looks really good. I like the way they're playing. They're playing good football, but they can be better on both sides of the ball. And if they are better, then it's not good for the rest of the NFC and not good for the rest of the NFL.
Mm. Yeah, the three teams that can compete with Tampa Bay in the NFC are Green Bay, Arizona, and the Rams. But I got to go with defense. I like what the Cardinals are doing defensively. You had J.J. Watt, and obviously Chandler Jones has just been on a tear for the last 6 or 7 years coming off the edge, getting to the quarterback. But, I got to go with the Rams, man. I just Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, I like what the Rams did. Adding DeSean Jackson to that offense. He's a deep ball threat, takes the top of the defense. And Robert Woods can play, man. I really like this young kid, man. Mm-hmm. He's savvy. He goes over the middle, makes tough plays. He's tough to get on the ground after the catch. And obviously Cooper Kupp. So Matthew Stafford has all the weapons that he needs offensively to help this team make a run to win a championship. But you got to go with defense, man. I just love – Aaron Donald's obviously one of the best we've ever seen over the last, two decades or whatever it may be. But I just got to go with the Rams. Everybody knows that the Green Bay Packers are going to make a run down the NFC North. They're going to just completely just run through that division. But when they get to the playoffs, I just don't see them being one of those teams defensively that can go out and stop a Rams or a Cardinals offense. So – it's just up in the air between the Cardinals and the Rams. I believe that.
I'm with you guys on the Rams, but I'm going. I know I'm gonna shock y'all on this one, but I'm gonna stay true to it. I still think that New Orleans has the chance to be competitive. And the reason why I think
did you say the New Orleans Saints that we just talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's what he just said. I heard him
say.
Yeah,
I know. And I know it sounds crazy. I know this sounds crazy. But when you really think about what you said, TJ, most of these coaches don't know what they're doing. One coach that does know what he's doing is Sean Payton. And again, I just wonder if the positive of this underachieving and hitting these speed bumps right now against a team like the Jet or the Giants gives them the film and the opportunity to correct Jameis in real time. You got to keep in mind, they have not had an opportunity in real time to be able to correct Jameis Winston. Everything has been based.
Well, what you mean? It's real time right now.
That's what I'm saying. That it is real time right now. So that's the point. They weren't able to do that when they brought him in last year. It was more looking at what Drew did and comparing what Drew did and teaching him that way. Whereas now you're getting real time film with Jameis and you're able to make your tweaks and your adjustments and your adaptations. I think that they will be able to do that. And I think that by the time they need Jameis and this offense to do what they need to do, especially if a Michael Thomas comes back motivated and ready to play, I think that they're going to be a problem for Tampa Bay. I really do. Now, in terms of competing competing for the Super Bowl overall, I ride with you guys. I agree with you on the Rams. But I also am very bullish with the Cardinals. But I'm just telling you guys, I just feel kind of a certain type of way about I think that the New Orleans Saints maybe need a reprieve just because of certain things that they've gone through off the field leading up to playing their game. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, you know, it's a bold prediction.
The Saints are ranked, what, 28th in total offense?
Yeah, they're not. It's not good at all.
Even total offense.
There's too many teams.
You have no lead corner.
I would say Marshawn Lattimore. He's elite. Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore. Elite.
But defensively, they just can't really. They can't stop anybody on the edge.
They haven't stopped anybody yet. The
problem is they're behind. They're chasing so many teams that are better than them at the positions that they're lacking. They're chasing the Cardinals. They're chasing the Bucs. They're chasing the Rams. If Russell Wilson hadn't got hurt and was going to miss all these games, they'd be chasing the Seahawks as well. They're also chasing the Niners from a record standpoint. They're chasing Green Bay. There's too many teams that they're looking up to, and it's like they've already lost to the Panthers. They're chasing so many different teams, man. It's like, can they do it? It's virtually almost impossible. When you look at the teams they've lost to in the NFC already and how they're playing football, I just can't see it happening at all.
Me.
Well, y'all know who we're chasing right now. Isaac Lohengrin for this sports update. And on the other side of this update, we're going to talk some boxing. But first, Ilo, let's get an update, baby.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's start with the Red River rivalry at the Cotton Bowl. It's number 6 Oklahoma against number 21 Texas. Here was the first play of the game from Craig Way on KTXX.
Thompson will turn and swing a pass out to Worthy. Xavier turns outside to the 30. Broken tackle! Xavier Worthy to midfield, the 40. Oh, yeah, folks. Say goodnight to it. First play of the game. 75 big ones to the house.
Step into a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
And then Texas would block a punt and score again on a 2-yard touchdown run by Bijan Robinson. So Texas with a 14-0 lead over Oklahoma, still early in the fourth quarter, but now Oklahoma is countering. They, with 9:36 and counting, have a first down and goal on the Texas 2-yard line. Check this out. At the Horseshoe in Columbus, number 7 Ohio State is trailing Maryland 3-0 with 5.5 minutes left to play in the first quarter. Number 11 Michigan State fell behind Rutgers 7-0 today, but then... Wait a minute. What's that?
That's their fight music. So something must
What's
something must have happened.
How did this get into our system?
What happened?
Plaxico.
Yeah.
Did you hack into our audio system, Plax? Be honest.
Absolutely. I tapped into it early this morning.
Oh, I love it.
Unbelievable. I'm playing with all the buttons I have here, trying to lower levels, and nothing can happen. Nothing's happening.
Let that thing ride, baby. Let it ride.
Were you like an IT major at Michigan State there, Plax?
I wouldn't go that far. But,
okay.
You know.
So what happened? I love that they come back.
I'm just a little rattled by Plaxico hacking into our state-of-the-art computer system. All right, so they fall behind 7-0, and then here's the legendary George Blanc. Aha, WJIM.
George looks left, now fires deep. He's got a man wide open. It's Speedy Naylor inside the 20, and he will race into the end zone untouched. Touchdown, MSU.
Oh.
Happy now, Plex.
7-7.
They are now tied. 3:03 left to play in the first quarter. Elsewhere, number 13, Arkansas has a 7-0 lead at 17th-ranked Ole Miss, 4:17 left to play in the first quarter. And number 20, Florida, leading Vanderbilt 7-0, 5:39 left to play in the first quarter. And finally, fellas, one NFL note. Ian Rappaport reporting this morning that the NFL taking steps to play a regular season game in Germany, perhaps as early as next season. Now let's go back to Plex, TJ, and this guy.
A former Penn State All-American, LeVar Arrington, guys.
Yeah.
All yours.
The show was dope this morning, man. I don't know if y'all caught your boy on there, but I did that big man show.
How did that bike get into our system, LeVar?
Yeah, I don't know. Plexico put it there.
I don't know.
I appreciate you. I love a great update as usual.
Isaac Lowe and Cron.
Yeah, for certain. And listen, we got a big fight coming out tonight. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury are doing round three. Obviously, the first one was a draw. The second one was a massacring of Tyson Fury over Deontay Wilder. If you recall, Deontay basically said that the walk-up outfit that he had on coming to the stadium or coming to the arena, coming to the mat, weighed him down and it fatigued him and it wore him out for the fight. And that's what gave Tyson the edge. We're bringing in our resident expert from the Pretty Left Hook podcast, Rhett Butler. Welcome into the show, Rhett. How you doing, bro? We appreciate
you
making some time. Good, man.
Absolutely,
You got Plexico Burst, you got TJ Hushmanzada, and we just want to get into talking about how big of a fight is this, who's it biggest to, who needs to win this. Like, let's just get into it. Like, tell us all about, set the stage for this fight.
Absolutely. Great to be on the stage with a bunch of great gentlemen as yourselves. This is going to be the biggest fight of the year, hands down. The reason being, it's a trilogy. If you know about heavyweight boxing, there's been a few really big trilogies over time, 5 to be exact, that have been really, really major. The one that everybody knows would be Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier, with the third being Crazy. I think this has those kind of implications. When I say that, what I mean is, when you're talking about the first fight between Fury and Wilder in 2018, it went to a draw. But remember, Wilder gave him the hand of God, and Fury got up that second time and came back and actually outboxed Wilder going into the 12th round to get a split draw, which is crazy. Mm. And you're talking about the second fight, where clearly Deontay Wilder looked overmatched, got outboxed, got outmanned, Fury dirty boxing the whole way, and Wilder eventually had the towel thrown in on him by Mark Breland, an Olympian, by the way, who, in all fairness, was trying to save his champion from having a face plant a la Pacquiao Margarito. But at the same time, you know, Wilder always wants to go out on his shield. So you have now an angry, wounded animal against a man that is rightfully stood now as the Gypsy King. He's taken over America. He already had the UK. You have a lot of Americans now becoming Fury fans. This is pissing Deontay Wilder all the way off. Mm. He now looks ripped. He came in way heavier this time, but all muscle. I think he's going to do big things in this fight against Fury. Everybody's counting him out for betting odds against Deontay. But I actually think it's
going to
be pretty close.
Mm. Well, I'm a huge boxing fan. I can't wait to watch this fight. Myself and LeVar, we actually attended Wilder Fury 2. So we were in Vegas. We were there at the fight. My question is this, and you just spoke on this. What do you make of both guys coming in at career high weights? This is the heaviest both guys have weighed. Wilder, I thought his best attribute was his quickness. He would always step to you off of a clinch with a 1-2, surprise him. And with that quickness and power, will he lose some of that? And conversely, will Fury fatigue a little faster, being a little heavy? Because I thought when he didn't knock Wilder out, when the fight was stopped in the second fight, he looked to be really fatigued in that fight towards the end.
That's a great question. You know, this fight is definitely different for both guys. Fury weighed in at 277, which is 4 more pounds than he weighed in their last fight. And then Deontay came in at 238, but a ripped 238 after he'd been weighed in at a career high 231. And to your point, he normally would come in a lot lighter, sometimes as low as 212. So I say that to say you're absolutely right, but in terms of what the advantages for Fury to have a Wilder looking more sluggish. But what I do believe is that Wilder's new trainer, Malik Scott, along with Don House, realized that Fury's going to dirty box Wilder all day. He realized it worked in the second fight. When I say dirty boxing, meaning laying on Wilder, tiring out his legs with all that weight, and then body shotting him to death, because clearly Tyson Fury's a better boxer. It can handle a lot more combinations. Deontay's always looking for that one-punch equalizer. So I think for this fight, Deontay had 2 years, mind you, 2 years to get ready for this. They went through the court arbitration because Fury was done with this. He wanted to go ahead and fight Anthony Joshua, who now was no longer even in the picture in terms of being a champion. But Deontay, over that time, restructured everything. He brought in Malik Scott, a former heavyweight fighter himself, who got Wilder back to fundamentals. You saw a lot of the videos online of Wilder doing a lot of body shots. I think Wilder's going to come in there more with all muscle and look to equalize the heaviness of Fury. Let's not forget, Fury is 2 inches taller than Wilder at 6'9", and Wilder at 6'7". So I think Wilder realized he needed to equalize that part out and get back into the game with body shots. But I do believe this time he'll be ready for that offense. I think Sugar Hill Stewart, Fury's trainer, has shot his load in relation to that dirty boxing offense.
Yeah, I think both of these guys came into the fight overweight because, you know, man, these guys be throwing some haymakers, man, and both of these guys can take punches. So Tyson Fury has this, unorthodox, uncanny, right-handed traditional fighter. So is he a southpaw or is he right-handed? Because he just has this style that it kind of just drives Deontay crazy to where he doesn't know, you know, how to defense himself. So is he like a traditional right-handed fighter, southpaw, because he's right-handed and he's southpaw at the same time? So what do you think Wilder's defense should be this time around?
I think Wilder's best defense is going to be offense. You know, at the end of the day, what he realized from the orthodox fighter, Tyson Fury is right-handed. What he realized from Tyson Fury is that, number one, just being totally honest, Tyson Fury is a better boxer. We've never seen anybody like Tyson Fury ever in boxing. When I say that, what I mean is, you have a guy that's 6'9 that can box you like a welterweight. That's never happened before. I think the closest to that we've ever seen is Muhammad Ali with the dancing. But Muhammad Ali used it strategically to avoid roping you into a rope-a-dope and then get you tired from you punching yourself out. Well, Tyson Fury does the exact opposite. He dances to punch you. And I think that when you have somebody like Deontay Wilder, who's used to controlling the narrative, bullying everybody he touches, and now he has a guy that can outbox him, is bigger than him, taller than him, and has no fear of his right hand, especially after getting up after, again, the hand of death, laid him on his back.
The hand of death.
I mean, they did give him about 14 seconds to get up.
That is absolutely true. There was a bit of controversy there for sure. Jack Reese, the referee, gave him a little
trash.
Extra, a little
He's a
extra
trash
power.
Referee. Trash.
But I believe that for Deontay Wilder to equalize all the advantages Tyson Fury has, to your point, he is orthodox. He is a taller fighter. He is a more skillful fighter. But what we have to recognize is that Deontay Wilder is a wounded animal. All you guys know, when you have that chip on your shoulder and you're used to winning, all you want to get back to is that chip, that feeling. And also, Deontay has that added pressure of knowing if he loses this trilogy, he's going to go so far down the rankings that he won't even really matter in the same way.
That's what I was about to end it off with, Rhett. Can you touch on that a little bit? If Tyson Fury were to lose this fight, what are the implications? And you just said what the implications are for Deontay. I mean, this might be a career killer for Deontay Wilder if he loses this. Yes, no?
Yes, it's absolutely a career killer. When you look at what just happened in England with Anthony Joshua, who just lost all the other belts, the Unified Championship, to a guy that came up from the cruiserweight division to now his first heavyweight fight against Anthony Joshua, took all his belts. That just usurped everything in the game. So if Deontay Wilder loses a third fight against Tyson Fury, it'll be career-ending in many ways. Why? Because Deontay Wilder is looked at as an excuse maker now since the second fight. It was the ring walk entrance was too heavy. It was his trainer being disloyal and throwing in the towel. It was his water might be spiked and there's some collusion with teams. And then he said the ultimate, which is that Tyson Fury was on PED, all of which were not proven. So at the end of the day, instead of taking the L like a man, many felt like Deontay was full of excuses. So now, if he loses, and it's a definitive loss, it will shatter his reputation in boxing forever.
Wow. All right. Well, that's Rhett Butler of Pretty Left Hook Podcast.
Hey, Rhett, before you go, who you got?
Oh.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. So, personally, I actually see either Wilder in 8, KO, or I see a draw again.
Mm.
But I'm going to go Wilder in 8.
I can see a draw.
And I'm going to go Wilder in 8. And I only say that because I feel like the way Deontay looks and what he went through, he knows he's fighting for his life right now. Tyson Fury has a second act after this. Deontay's throwing balls to the wall.
No doubt.
Wow. Okay, there you go. Pretty Left Hook Podcast. Rhett Butler, we appreciate you coming on. Coming up next, we got sound from, well, a McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey. You'll be interested to hear what he has to say. He is not happy about something that, has become more of a staple of the National Football League, and he's going to tell you why he's not a fan of it. Before we take our break, we're going to take a drive, and we're going to take a drive because it's that time of the year.
Come pick me up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Got to pick them up. You know, it's time to get off the couch. It's time to get into the stadium parking lot. It's football season, y'all, and that means tailgating is back. This season, do it right. Pack up the coolers, grills, widescreen TV. Load them up in your Ram. The truck brand redefining what trucks can be. Ram. It leads the pack in interior design, technology, and overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked the Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored that high. Ram trucks have the rugged durability and haul what you need, you know what I mean? But it also has luxury on the interior, on the inside, to make the drive to every weight game very pleasurable. So get behind the wheel. Take the truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with Ram Truck. Learn more about Ram Trucks and what they have to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. This is Up On Game. This is Fox Sports Radio. This is all about the game, all about Plexico Burris, all about TJ Hushmanzada. I'm just here to help them dudes, you know what I mean? Because they are the stars, and this is the show. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Welcome back. Sup on game.
Boom.
Speeding out of hour one, charging into hour two. We got a whole lot to get to. Yeah, why not? I mean,
driven.
Oh, we're driving. We're driving in hour two.
We're driving rounds. That's what we're doing. We're driven in and we're driving.
Hey, but before we dry that round, we got to defy aging with this M-Dry, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boosts energy, and helps you get lean. Visit MDryForMen.com for 20% off of promo code TJ. Don't let age beat you. Mm. Get you some M-Drive.
Driven
and get in a Ram. How about that?
There we go.
Man.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that made me start thinking. Maybe Christian McCaffrey needs some M drive and he needs a Ram because, you know, he's not happy about something here, fellas. And, well, instead of letting me say it, I'll let him tell you guys all about it. But this Thursday night football thing, he don't feel good about it. Here's Christian McCaffrey.
It was extremely frustrating. I don't prefer Thursday night games. You really get 2 days to recover, and then one of those days is a travel day. You hop on a plane, you know, you're in a hotel, and you go out and play in a football game. It's tough, but it is what it is. It's part of the game, and obviously frustrating. I think I'm not alone in this, but I probably argue against them. I can sit up here and complain. I'm not complaining. It is frustrating sometimes when, you know, you feel like something could have been avoided with a little more rest. You know, I'm sure if I got through that game 100%, I wouldn't be saying anything about it. So that's just me and my personal views.
Well, I think we've all had complaints about Thursday night games.
Right.
And I just want to put that in front of you guys. Do you find him to be accurate? Do you find him to be complaining? Is that diva-ish? What's your take on him?
I don't mind that he's a running back. He's getting pounded every game, so he's just now getting over the soreness on Tuesday, Wednesday, and he got to turn around and play. Me being a receiver, we have that soreness. I would say 5 or 6 times a season where you're like, oh my God, I'm beat up. I didn't mind the Thursday night games. I actually liked them because it was after that game where it was almost like having another bye week. You were just rested more. But I get the linebackers and the O-line, D-line, and running backs. I get where they're coming from because they're banging, and they always going to be sore from that.
Hey, I got to side with Christian McCaffrey on this, man. The NFL is not doing the players justice by having them play 4 days after they play on Sundays. Just like Christian McCaffrey said, listen, the Wednesday travel day is not a rest day. You're flying, it increased dehydration, different things of that nature. And then when you wake up on Monday, you feel terrible from Sunday. You really don't start feeling like yourself until Friday. But a lot of people don't know that. So now, just like CJ said, if you play on Thursday, it's like having another bye week, but what if you're like 1-6, 1-7? You don't get those days off because now you got to go into the facility. Listen, this Thursday night game, Aaron Rodgers said it a couple years ago. They're not doing the due diligence by taking care of these players because it is tough, man, to get yourself back together 4 days after you play a football. I've never been a fan of it. But what the NFL tried to do was create games within close proximity so the teams don't have to travel as far. So now the Thursday night games are within the division, like Green Bay or Minnesota, games of that nature. So they're not traveling that far. But listen, that Wednesday is not a rest day if you're the away team. You're not getting any rest.
Well, there's no rest for the weary and no weary for the weak. You got to get it in where you get it in. It's your job. Whether you like it or not, you got to make it through or not. There'll be somebody else there to do it for you if you need that break and you need that rest. So
that's a fact.
We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But he has been injured quite a bit. We got a whole lot coming up on the next hour. Legendary moments coming up. We'll do up on game, down on game. A whole lot to come. Make sure you stay tuned in. This is Up on Game, Fox Sports Radio.